Hey, our brother Bill English is back from BibleandBusiness.com. Happy New Year, Bill.
Happy New Year, Carmen. How are you?
I'm well. We have a brand new listener named Sherry. She lives in Belleville, Illinois. Want to give her a shout out?
Hey, Sherry. How are you? Belleville, Illinois. Is that? You know, I preached one time in Taylorsville, Illinois. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's near Belleville.
I don't know. Now you're going to have me like Googling and, you know, Google mapping. I don't know.
Well, I got to give you something to do today, right?
That's right. So thank you to Sherry's sister-in-law who invited her to listen. There you go. That is very cool. We love that. Bill, it is a new year. Every single one of us has new opportunities as a believer in Jesus to influence the places where we work. We can either live out biblical kingdom ethics in the places where we work, or, you know, we could live out worldly ways. Talk with us about this, I think, most fundamental issue of, you know, how do we express our Christian values in the places where we work?
Well, I think in our culture today, most people like to leave politics and religion out of the workplace. I think if you're to talk to the average employee, and frankly, the average employer, the vast majority would say, let's not do politics, let's not do religion in the workplace. We're here to do a job, let's just do the job. That's my read on our current culture. So I think first of all, as Christians, we need to remember that we're there to do a job. It's what we're hired to do. The employer owns our time and our work product, and we need to honor that first. You will then over time, I think, earn respect, and your witness will be enhanced as you consistently put out a high quality of work and you consistently build high quality relationships. So this is not something where you're going to go in on day one and start sharing the gospel with other people. I think, you know, I just interviewed a new employee yesterday who just came on with us yesterday, first day. If that person was already going around sharing her faith, maybe she's a Jehovah's Witness and she's going around sharing her faith, she wouldn't have lasted it to the end of the day. So there's a sense in which you have to know why you're at work. You're there to do a job, do the best job that you can, and then over time build really good relationships that can carry the respect so that when you do share your faith, it's shared in the appropriate way, in the appropriate setting, and people will actually listen a little bit.
Yeah, I think when you say share your faith, you're talking about, you know, verbally in a, you know, demonstrable, here, you know, here is the gospel of Jesus Christ, or, you know, or I guess if your faith is other than Christian, it's you sharing verbally in such a way. So when you say share your faith, that's specifically what you're referring to. I think that as Christians, we it's an obligation to share our faith, but in a way that is demonstrated as distinct and kingdom minded. And so, you know, do good work, do great work, do it with precision, do it well, do it on time. Don't rob your employer of of time or resources or anything else. Like, all of those are a way. They're very countercultural in some ways. And there's a demonstration of concern for not only my employer in that we would all be successful together, but there's a concern for my fellow workers. And all of that is a demonstration of who I am in Christ. Like, I don't separate my character and ways at work from my character and ways, you know, at home or at church. Like, right, it's about being this like integrated Christian person.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was going after. I call it God talk. So when I'm sharing my faith, if I would naturally refer to the Lord in church, then I'll naturally refer to the Lord at work. So, you know, I might say, well, I was, you know, where are you going to go on for vacation? Well, you know, we're going to go do a mission trip for vacation because, A phrase I use is, I'm a man of faith. And because I'm a man of faith, I do these things. That kind of phraseology is usually accepted in the workplace. And so I call it my God talk. I don't diminish my God talk in the workplace, but I'm also not out trying to share the complete gospel right away with people.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I know that you are working on a message that you're going to be delivering on Ephesians chapter 6, the first 9 verses. I was wondering if we might, when we come back from the break, maybe we could wander around a little in the passage or the portion of the passage that really does address workers and employees, which, you know, the language of slaves is in here, and that's going to be troublesome and a stumbling block to some people. But we're going to recognize that we're talking about workers and employees and managers here in this passage. So we're going to continue our conversation with Bill English here in just a moment. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5-9. If you want to turn there, we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. What are some of the things that you find hard to believe? Do you find it hard to believe that God hears you? Do you find it hard to believe that God loves you? Do you find it hard to believe that right now God knows how many hairs there are on your head and how many are on your hairbrush? Like, do you sometimes find it hard to believe that God cares about you and the stuff going on in your life right now? My friend Susie Larson wants you to be reminded every single day, that God is good. Would you like to wake up to the goodness of God? Just text the word good to 877-933-2484. Every single day, you'll get encouraging text messages, prayers, and devotions from Susie Larson right on your phone. Just text the word good to 877-933-2484. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio. Bill English is here with us from BibleAndBusiness.com. Bill, what does Ephesians 6 verses 5 to 9 say? And then how does that help us walk our faith out into the places where we work?
Yeah, so I'll just read verse 5 first. Bondservants, obey. I'm in the ESV, by the way. Obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So a couple things there. First of all, we serve our employers with what Paul says, fear and trembling. Most scholars look at that as just a euphemism for respect. And we do it with a sincere heart. The Greek there means the quality of being straightforward in an honest attitude and speech. So the phrase that I'll use when I preach this is candid honesty. And I may even put in there gracious candid honesty. We don't serve by way of what the ESV translates as eye service or as people pleasers. Eye service, the Greek there means a person appearing to fulfill his duties only when his employer is physically present. That's not who we are. We do our work whether the employer is watching us or not, and we do it with the same quality. And the other phrase, people pleasers, the Greek there just means the intent to satisfy the desires of people rather than God. And so we do our work the same quality whether our employer is watching physically or not, and we do this with the intent of pleasing God. So we obey our employers with the intent of pleasing the Lord first and then pleasing our earthly employers secondly, because we know that God is going to give us a reward in heaven, even if our employers on earth don't reward us. And then he goes on to say, and I don't know, Carmen, do you want me to stop here and you want to comment, or should I just keep going here?
No, I think you're on a roll, man. Go.
Okay. And then he says in verse 9, masters, do the same to them. In other words, treat your employees with the same respect, candid honesty, with the desire to please the Lord first, being content with heavenly rewards. Please your or treat your employees the same way that you expect them to treat you. And then he says, this is a really interesting phrase. He says, stop threatening. Stop your threatening is what he says, knowing that he who is their master and yours is in heaven and that there's no partiality there. That phrase for employers, stop your threatening, and I'm going to speak as a business owner now, really includes all expressions of contempt or any misuse of the inherent power imbalance that exists between the employer and the employee. So, to my way of thinking, Christian business owners need to be careful, very careful actually, not to treat one's employees unjustly. For example, we enforce our policies uniformly and without favoritism. We don't look the other way when our top salesman violates cultural norms. Well, we say, well, yeah, but we need the sales, so we're going to look the other way. No, we don't do that. And I think another one here is that we don't ask our salaried, our exempt employees, non-exempt employees to work 60 to 70 hours a week, week in, week out, because we know that they will. And we know that if they really only worked 40 hours a week, we'd have to go hire another person. And so we're saving money by having somebody create really a very poor work-life balance. I think that's a disrespectful and demoralizing way to manage people. The other thing that I will mention is that employers, Christian employers, do not negotiate unfair compensation packages, especially when the employee lacks negotiating power in that transaction. So there's a lot of employees who just don't have a lot of negotiating power, and the employers have been taught by MBA programs ad infinitum to get labor at the lowest cost possible to produce the highest profit possible. I think that's sin. I think it's sin for a Christian business owner to not pay a fair market or a little bit above fair market wage to an employee simply because the employee lacks the ability to negotiate or lacks the power to negotiate well and advocate for their behalf. I'll also say this. I'm gonna connect another dot here, and I know I'm gonna step on some toes here, but in our congregational churches, the congregations are the employers for our pastors and our staff. And there's gonna be a lot of people within the sound of my voice right now who attend church on a regular basis, and you never give $1 towards the ministries or towards the staff salaries of that church. When you enrich yourself by lacking generosity towards God and the church, and then you expect your pastoral staff to take a compensation package that you yourself would never take, that is sin, that is selfishness, and that is something that needs to be rectified. You need to become generous towards God, because that loaf of bread in the store costs your pastor the same as it costs you. That car repair bill costs your pastor the same as it costs you. We shouldn't, through selfishness and lack of generosity, expect our ministry staff to live on less than what we ourselves would expect to live on. So those are, now that last point, I won't be preaching in my church, because that would put my ministers in an awkward situation. But this is kind of the gist of what I'll be preaching a week from Sunday.
Well, it's true of our relationship to every ministry. Certainly our relationship to the churches of which we are individually members and a part, and we need to be, at the beginning of this year, you know, we need to be considering what does it mean to not just tip, like, right, not just, don't just grab, you know, grab a buck or two out of your wallet or your purse as the plate goes by, but actually, like, intentionally consider, what does it look like? If you've never been a percentage giver, what would it look like to start somewhere? Start giving 1%. I mean, the idea of a tithe is not dead. And so 10% is the biblical expectation, and that is not something that the overwhelming majority of people who attend church are doing. In fact, most people who attend church or who benefit from any ministry that is supported by contributions. This would be an example of it. The overwhelming majority of people who benefit from the ministry never give financially to it. And so this is a passage of scripture where you can recognize that you, as the listeners to Faith Radio, you are my employers. You are my employers. And so if you not only derive a benefit from the ministry, but you have an expectation that when you ask, we're going to pray. When you have a need, we're going to be there with you and for you. That reciprocal relationship is real. And the way that it is sustained, the way that ministries are sustained, is through financial contributions. And so I do appreciate, Bill, your willingness to go to the hard place in this passage, which is to recognize that people who are in ministry are pastors first and foremost, but every other person in any kind of gospel ministry, they need our support. And if Christians don't support gospel ministries and gospel churches, then we shouldn't be surprised when that cultural witness is diminished or goes away, because people will have to go do other things in order to take care of their families. Like, that's the nature of the way the world works. So I appreciate your willingness to go to the hard place in this passage. And I think there's a lot here for us. I highlighted in my own notes, it's in terms of managers and those who are in a position of leadership or management over others. Treating every person in your employ as a real person, made in the image of God. Like, right? Every person working under you is a person. Do respect, see them as God sees them. That's an eternal, creative, resourceful, gifted, responsible individual. And we ought to be managing in a way that that acknowledges that.
Yeah, this mutual respect, this mutual honoring, when you actually look at the larger passage from verses 1 through verses 9, what you find is that honor and respect are woven into both our family relationships and our employment relationships, both ways. Fathers to sons to fathers, employers to employees, right? And that honoring and that respect is visceral to our covenant relationship with God. Because if you go over to Malachi 6, I know we're over time here, but as a son honors his father and a servant his master, and then God says, well, then if I'm a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my fear, right? If we're supposed to honor our father and our master, even more so God. And so these earthly relationships are a pointing to, if I can put it that way, our relationship with God. And that relationship with God, if you dishonor your parents or you disrespect your employer, chances are very good that you are dishonoring and disrespecting God too, and you need to get on your knees and confess your sin.
On that happy note, on that honest New Year's note, thank you, Bill, as always. That's Bill English. You can find him at BibleAndBusiness.com and preaching on January 14th where?
At the Maple Grove Evangelical Free Church. It's called The Grove, creatively named The Grove in Maple Grove, Minnesota.
Awesome. All right. You can catch Bill there on live and in person on January the 14th. Expounding further on Ephesians chapter 6.